right here, right now. Every day, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city. Toronto.
This program is sponsored by A Different Book List. Located at 779 Bathurst Street, A Different Book List is an African-Canadian-owned bookstore specializing in the rich literature of African and Caribbean diaspora and the Global South. For more information, visit www.adifferentbooklist.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We're going to be talking to Norman Otis, Richmond bluesologist and a veteran of the struggle for equality in, let's say, the North America, the hemisphere, the world, but he's been very active over the years in Toronto, one of the best known figures in the in many efforts to bring about a society which doesn't leverage race against particularly black Canadians who've had kind of a parallel history with the U.S. in that they were complacently comfortable with the idea that they could rule and it would just be considered natural to not permit somebody on property, not let them buy property, not let them live in certain neighborhoods, and to deny them wages or to deport them and put them under a kind of bondage. The bondage business is not ended. Again, this is the Taylor Report, where we're attempting to reach Norman. I don't think it'd take us very long. We'll be talking also later in the show about this accelerated, really fast development of putting Canada and the so-called Western powers on a path of militarism. It's just calmly discussing the war as though it was somehow something. It's like the 18th century, or we're going to apparently put our soldiers together and hand them rifles, and we're going to gather them at strategic points and then battle each other. It's the vocabulary of our leaders, such as they are. Should be cause for worry. Today's Globe and Mail has a headline, not a headline, well, a subhead, which says, this is what it says, and this is shows that the people are rational, but the leaders are out of their minds. It says, the majority of Canadians now see United States as more of a risk than an ally. Which that's not reflected in the leaders. I know that Mr. Carney has said that we're a middle power, and that we're entering a world of that is not like it was, and we're going to be practical and principled. Which, of course, actually doesn't work. I mean, if you had an editor, you say, well, you can't be both those things. But that's, I guess, when you're in the middle world, you can speak middle language. So, but there seems to be no realistic assessment of where is the enemy? If you're the soldier, you say, where are we going and who are we fighting? Because the Canadian people seem to be quite aware that the greatest threat happens to be the one actually right next door. which raises the issue of why, since we're a middle power and now we're on our own and we're going to start acting like a grown-up and et cetera, why was our prime commitment to make Canada safe and the world secure, why is, if we're a middle power and now we're facing a new reality, why are the troops in Latvia and why is that our main commitment? And by the way, how do you get them there? If you're on your own now and you're making up, there's a little problem of transportation, and there's things called airspace, which doesn't belong to you. How do you do that? That's the question that needs to be answered. I think, by the way, I think we're on a theme here of, well, I want to make sure that people know this is Black History Month, and we, to kind of get the appropriate tone for that, we're going to play you something. We're going to try to reach Otis, and after the music, if we don't, we'll take another path. But let's play a song from the Civil Rights Movement from the 20th century. Do we have that? And we're back. That's Bernice Reagan, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. And that is, for all of us, should be a working proverb. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. We will try to have Norman with us sometime soon. And meantime, I think it might be appropriate to discuss a great figure that has passed, Jesse Jackson. He was so strong, so vibrant, and such an inspirational, fantastic inspirational speaker and political strategist. A great loss. Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition was a absolutely brilliant political movement, and I can say I participated somewhat. I campaigned for Jesse in a couple of places. I attended some of the conferences of the Rainbow Coalition, and think of what it was. It was, of course, at its core, it was led by Black Americans who had been, ever since their arrival in North America, fighting for the oldest concept, one of the older, healthiest concepts ever to be delivered to us all, which is that we are born equal. We are one humanity. And that was even put into the Declaration of Independence. It was used as a weapon to win to defeat the slave-owning states in the Civil War. If Abraham Lincoln, gave his address at Gettysburg, and he said that the struggle for the recognition that all of us are created equal was being challenged by the slave owners. When he said that, he was actually being way ahead of the general population, but he was reminding everyone that that was in the original Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. That was in the American Declaration of Independence. It's like, intellectually, an atomic bomb. because that was not believed, and is not believed by people who believe in monarchies and division of into castes and divisions into classes. That the last thing they want to hear is that people all are created equal. I don't think it's widely known that those who wanted to preserve slavery and racial inequality and who went to war and killed more Americans in the Civil War than any war Americans have ever fought, by far, they don't understand that in remembering it now, it is not known that when the Confederacy was formed under Jefferson Davis, they said that they wrote their own constitution, and they put it in their constitution, the Confederate States. They said that all people were not created equal, and because they were arguing that slavery and racial superiority was a natural order. So when they say, when there are people who foolishly say, well, the South was fighting for its own self-rule, or it didn't want to be dominated by the North, and that was all it was about, you have to say to them, they wrote a constitution in which they challenged the founding concept that of America, which said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They said that was not true. So that was the slave owners who had been dominant in American politics since the founding, practically. And so that was the concept, the simple expression of it is quite revolutionary. And I'm going to come back to Jesse Jackson. The Rainbow Coalition was, of course, a challenge to the concept of racial hierarchy, which Washington now is repeating, by the way. You can, in the remarks of the current president and his smaller friends, they are trying to go back to something that preceded the founding of the country, which is there is some kind of European superiority, some idea that, and it's not just American, the former, I think he was the president of the European Union, I don't remember his name, but I'm sure listeners will remember, he said that Europe is a garden. He didn't say Eden, but he came close, a garden, and all these lesser peoples are trying to come there and get into the garden, and therefore you have to be, you know, understand their low concept of life, et cetera, and they're trying to come and undermine the wonderful thing built by the European civilization. We're talking now the 21st century, and this is the kind of brain power and I would say greed, because Western Europe is a nest of thieves. They stole minerals, they stole lives, they built themselves on being rapacious colonizers, and diligently worked to divide community. Well, along came Jesse Jackson, of course, product of the civil rights movement, a disciple of Martin Luther King and the Southern Christian leadership, which is, we always want to remember, these were not just seminal leaders who stepped forward and became the people who we should follow by their rhetoric and their logic, but rather they were organizations, and I guess the Southern Christian Leadership, I think a council, whatever, Congress, led by ministers. And remember, by the way, Jesse Jackson was a minister, and he had a wonderful command of language guided by his religious training and upbringing, which was rich and powerful. But he started as a young man from South Carolina who began to escape the racism and difficulty of life in South Carolina for Black Americans. He went to he got a football scholarship. And if you take a good look at Jesse, you could see why. He was a big, strong man. Someday I'm going to look into how good a player he was. If you ever played sports, you always want to know what was his position. I think he was a quarterback. He joined in with the student movement to challenge segregation in restaurants and travel and access to schools, that sort of thing. Then he became involved and met Martin Luther King. He had, but this concept of the rainbow, which flowed from that, because you know what? If you say we're for ourselves, inevitably someone says, well, how about we be for ourselves? But Jesse was bringing both a constitutional right together with a human concept, which is we all belong to the same family, actually. We're all humans. We're all equal in our capacity. I don't mean individually. Everybody has their individuality and their own talent or their own taste, desires, et cetera. But as our part of being a general of humanity, we need the recognition of that foundation. It's really painful to think about that Jesse had to, and others, of course, all had to fight within institutions to simply for this recognition of our common humanity. And, of course, he lived through the period, and he was present when Dr. King was martyred. I like to use that old-fashioned word. He was definitely martyred. And whenever a leader is martyred, it follows an immediate challenge to those who rallied to that leader to use his phrase, keep hope alive, because the explosion of anger and violence that flowed from the murder of Martin Luther King had to be turned into something that could be worthy of the leader. And Jesse is one of those who managed to put things back on track and provide not only energy and talent and all that, but a proper view of. Hey, what do you know? I'm hearing from our guest Otis. We'll get to him in a moment. People listening to Taylor Report know we often fly by the seat of our pants, I want to just make one more point about Jesse Jackson. He had longevity in politics because he had the right idea, which was to say to everyone, "Yes, we have some common problems." You know, we've come to points many years later saying, "Well, we have the 1% that dominates the rest of us." Well, that's what the Rainbow Coalition was saying. And over the years, the best person to lead us was Jesse Jackson, who was steeped in training and thought about the problem of racial division and how to solve it. And his speeches, if you read his speeches on bringing people together to get reform, are really perfect illustrations of what we need right now, is to, because we're back in the world of really obnoxious imperialist thought, which is talking about middle power, little power, major power, big power, etc. And there's when and the people doing that are in violation of the fundamental notion of the civil rights and so-called human rights movement, which is to remind every leader that actually we have a common humanity, and demonization is has to be overcome by a desire for unity. So we'll come back to this later in the program. This is the Taylor Report, CIET 89.5 FM. And to again say, it's Black History Month, and it's a wonderful thing. It was founded, but remembering that it was founded by activists, and it was simply a page in the overall struggle for human equality. And we're trying to reach a point where we all become humans. Karl Marx made a funny remark. Maybe it's not so funny. He said, human history has not begun because we're still treating each other like wolves. We permit ourselves to be separated when we're one common humanity. So here at the Taylor Report, we're hoping to become humans at some point. This is Taylor Report and 33, 45, 78, Steve Fruitman is coming up.